Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Yes. As we're all kind of crawling in on our hands and knees now, I think this is week five. For those of you that are still hanging in there, this will be the last one, finally. And next week will be the lifting. Whether they do it for 1 or 2 weeks, I am not certain. I know that we're all ready.
This is the back door. Here we are at the back door.
Yes, this tonight, Poor Choices and Remorse, the back door of shame. Folks, I did not know we were going to have this show, and when they drop it in, they drop it in kind of in one fell swoop. And so, and I don't know of any other place that we could have it, but I wanted to share with you all tonight a channeling which is in the newsletter. It went out this afternoon, but it was so beautiful that when I read it, I started to cry. And it made it really worthwhile for me, and I hope worthwhile for certainly all of you and the incredible courage that you've all had to hang in there through this. So if I can, I'd like to start off the evening with what they have to say. And and I'm quoting here, you are being observed by so many at this time. What a splendid thing you are doing. What courage it has taken for you all to look at shame. We know that this has been difficult, and each one of you has been lovingly supported as you've gone through this most unpleasant and uncomfortable exploration. In your dream time, you've been in meetings with your guides, higher selves, and each other as you move through the process. You are never, ever alone. For some of you, it's been very painful. For others, it's been distasteful. There is nothing pretty about shame. You're not only healing yourselves, but you are having a direct effect on the entirety of humanity and the mass consciousness during this process. Congratulate yourselves for what you've been willing to do. Many discussions have taken place on the other side of the veil, wondering if you could do this and how difficult it would be for all of you and each of you. It was agreed that additional support would be afforded to all of you to walk through this. Some of you have had strange and uncomfortable dreams and experiences, physical discomfort, illness, fear, anxiety, and sheer terror. Each one of you agreed to this at a higher level, and there was great concern about whether you could pull it off. Well, we are thrilled to tell you that you are doing it, and it's working in ways that you're not yet aware of. Not only will each of you benefit, but the benefit to the whole of humanity is beyond anything that you currently understand. There's great celebration over the courage that each of you has demonstrated. You must take this into yourselves and own it. Love and honor yourselves for your courage and commitment. We honor you, we love you, and we celebrate you. You see, dear ones, it's much easier to focus on what's beautiful and possible. It's ever so much more fun. Who wants to focus on the dark side of life? The shame and the shadow are never easy to visit. Yes, they are a spiritual imperative, but few people want to stay there and are willing to walk through all the discomfort and pain. You're not martyrs. You are the courageous ones, the map makers, the reality creators who are willing to walk into the dark to allow in more and more light. It's big work, and it will never be forgotten, and you are setting the pace, the way for others to follow more easily and elegantly. What a wonderful legacy you are creating. You are walking where few dare to go, and some of you have grown weary and wondered, will it ever be over? And others have thought, why do I have to go to these places of pain and shame? Well, we're telling you that because of your efforts, many will have a totally different reality. And the goal for all of you is to create all that you desire and more. You'll begin to see the influence of this work in your families. It will touch you deeply as you see them shift and change. You may never tell them, but you will know that your efforts created real change for others. And it doesn't end with your families, dear ones. It will continue on. It's creating a crack and a shift in the entire mass consciousness. We, from the other side of the veil, send to all of you our greatest love and support. You are the ones that are making the difference because you chose it. Thank you, and continue on with your great work. We send to you our total, complete, unconditional love.
How wonderful.
Yeah, that makes me cry.
Yes, wonderful.
Well, and it also, just for all of you that are listening tonight, please understand that, you know, this process for me as well, even though I channel this information, when I go back and read it, I cry. I am touched because when it's coming through, I'm not aware of it. It's like being in two different levels of consciousness all the time. I want to start off tonight because I got a really interesting note from one of my wonderful, wonderful people that I adore. And when she got the title of tonight's show, she wrote, question, if one takes a wrong path or does something perceivably wrong, why is there assumption of shame associated with it? Should it not be perceived as a learning experience? Should one be ashamed of learning? I don't believe so. And if we injured another in our quest to learn, was there not a subtle soul agreement by both parties to learn and teach the lesson? The answer, folks, to this is absolutely yes. I'm going to read my response to her because I think it's easier for me to do this than to pull it out of my own brain. I wrote back and I said, of course you're right, but not everyone converts it to that. There are people who feel shame for the parents that they chose, knowing that they made that choice. There can be sorrow, regret, and shame even over that choosing. We have many opportunities to make choices creating alternate realities. When they brought this one in, I was in the shower and went, oh no, it's the back door. There are people who didn't marry a man that they spent and regret all of their lives over the missed opportunity or poor choice. I hear these things every day. I've had experiences myself, including an abortion, and I hear this one a lot as well. We'll talk about that when we get to the notes. Yes, all is for learning, but that doesn't mean that people don't convert it to shame. What about the woman that gives all her money to a con man who really didn't love her? Done it, by the way. Hundreds of thousands. Of course, I see the lesson and him as the teacher, but I went through years of struggle as a result and great shame that I gave away my security. All right? Remember, that's not important, but let's see. I said to her, this show may not apply to you, but it does apply to many others. Even down to the regret from Atlantis and the shame of Atlantis, which we'll get into. And I guess probably we should start it with that. We carry, and Ronnie, you know, certainly you know this as well as I do, that, you know, Atlantis was such a huge thing, and so many of us are back that were in Atlantis, determined to not see it happen again.
Right.
And certainly in the United States, we're closer to that paradigm than ever before.
For sure.
But we all still carry the sorrow and the shame of what happened in Atlantis at a cellular level, whether we're consciously aware of it or not.
Mm.
And, I want to also talk about here what they have shown me this week, which is so beautiful, is how each one of you right now has a team around you from the other side of the veil.
Mm.
And they are lovingly, hugely supporting each and every one of you. I've had so many emails and phone calls from people who, you know, are going through it, feeling it physically or emotionally, and, you know, feeling extremely tired, digestive disorders, flu-like symptoms, even someone with a painful jaw. And, you know, this week they really showed me what the teams look like and how each person has a team. And, you know, the love and the support that we have for this is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that being said, I really wanted to also talk about after we do the lifting. Now, whether or not that's going to be one show or two shows, I don't know. Definitely beginning next Thursday. And in a session tonight, they talked to someone about the fact that, you know, you've looked into every nook and cranny, into every shadowy corner, under every rock, but suppose there's some things that you missed. And, you know, it's interesting that this came up, and it kind of shocked me when they brought it up. And the answer was, don't panic. Because with the lifting, if you run into pieces of shame that you didn't get to, and there will be things that surface for everybody, you're going to have these aha moments where you go, oi, you know, I forgot about this. You can ask to have it lifted when you go to sleep at night. Ask your higher self, your soul, ask your team, you know, and just call them your team to help you lift it. And for those of you that are having sessions with us, certainly during the show or during the sessions, they will be happy to accommodate you as well. This is, I want people to realize, we're not going to get this 100%. Certainly, we have explored it, at the beginning of this, I had no idea all the ways that we were carrying shame. I certainly do now.
But also, Jackie, there's the whole thing of then walking into society and picking up. I mean, it's like the fish in the water. There's so much of it in the air, right?
You mean picking up other people's shame?
Yeah.
Well, I want to say this to you. After this experience, you are going to be so shame sensitive that you will reject it instantly anytime you think anything's coming at you, laying shame on you, including from yourself.
Great, thanks.
You will catch yourself because you will never do this again. I promise you.
It's too much.
Yes, I mean, what I have really realized is that I will, especially going through as much physically as I have, and, you know, having the physical trauma I've had with my kidney and my bladder and so on, I absolutely will never take it on again. I mean, I get into the shower and rub my body up and love it, and I'm just like, you know, okay, I'm not going to wait till I lose that other 20 pounds. I'm not going to wait until, you know.
And talking about that, you said you'd lost weight doing this.
Well, yes, it's because it's been so traumatic.
Well, that's true, but I think also for people who are just doing shame and not doing quite the physical breakdown that you had to have with it, there still is a good possibility of losing weight.
Absolutely. You won't need the shield, the protection that you've carried historically when you can get to these pieces of shame. You know, I have so many women that have walked in and overnight gained 40 to 60 pounds, and the doctors can't tell them why. They have no clue. Absolutely none. And I have a whole group of these women. It's very interesting to me. And
how are they doing with the shame work?
Very big. Very big. It's been very big for them. Very big. And some of them have not even wanted to touch it. That's how big it is. And, you know, we've had to encourage them, look, go back, go into the archives, listen to the shows, work with this, because, you know, we are not time constrained. You go back and listen to a show in an archive, you're in the energy.
Right.
And I want to kind of go through some of this backdoor stuff kind of tonight, just throwing these things out. Again, you know, I recognize fully this creates more questions than answers. It's not designed to answer questions. What it is to stir it up so that you recognize it. The places, you know, I get this every time we've done a show, Veronica, I get, you know, messages from people going, oh my God, I didn't realize I had this shame or that shame or how much it held me back from my joy, my bliss, you know, stepping in to my great work, and this is where I know that the, you know, and I want to talk, I think I've mentioned this before, but interestingly enough, the sacred dispensation for the self-forgiveness, those two shows have yet to be in the archives, and it's purposeful. I think that Dawn, who owns the station, doesn't realize it, but we did that as an experiment in December. It had never been done before, it was to see
the sacred dispensation.
Yes, how we would fare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it threw people into process, and as you've said, Ryan, you're still working on that
one. You bet. The self-forgiveness and self-love are really, well, like you said, they become really obvious inside of myself when they come up now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the key, though, what we really found, and I always say we because at some level I'm participating in all this, you know, whether it's on the other side of the veil or exactly where that is, I don't even know. You know, where do I end and they take out? I up to use those boundaries anymore. But with the shame in place, we couldn't go to the depths and the levels of self-forgiveness. It's like running into bedrock when you're digging into the earth. You couldn't get there. And that's why this whole series on shame came about. That, and those shows will come up on the archive. And if Donnie is not able to make them work, then we'll put them on the website. Because once we're through this, going back and doing that sacred dispensation will work. We will be able to. And not only that, having processed through all of this, it will seem very easy. This is the tough one. So,
this is a tough one because it's really not very elegant at all, is it?
Shame?
It doesn't feel very heroic or...
Oh, it feels absolutely horrid.
Yeah.
And, you know, people feel icky. I mean, there's no other word to use. It's like walking through glue. And everybody's over. Everybody's like, are we done yet? Enough already? So let's start with some of the places that this stuff comes in through the back door, because I think it's so fascinating. And of course, I mentioned it in the response to Janice's letter, which was parents. And for those, you know, who've really been doing this work for a lot of years, and I assume all of you have, really, we know we choose our parents. Now, we all chose. Now, some people have wonderful parents, okay? And, you know, it's not to say that everybody isn't wonderful. But certainly for
maybe
men...
Maybe they regret that because it didn't push them hard enough.
I'm sorry?
Maybe they regret that because it didn't push them hard enough.
Well, you know, my experience is even if they had a wonderful childhood, they usually picked, you know, a real humdinger of a partner. So they were going to get it one place or the other. So it was just a delay response.
Right.
And, but there can be shame with the parents that you chose. And, you know, the regret of why didn't I do this differently?
Right.
You know, that feeling as a child, and especially I would say the majority of you listening tonight, looking around at your parents going, you know, who are these people? How did I get here? And I want to go home. And many of the people that I work with have, having had a feeling of being rejected by their parents because they were different. They couldn't really put the finger on it.
Right.
But feeling ostracized in some way, and sometimes by their siblings as well, that they were just different. And or they came in feeling stronger than their parents and their siblings and kind of ran the show, took over and felt that they were the ones that had to be the protectors and take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fascinating to me the way we run this. I personally went through a lot of shame in my work with Lazarus because I had chosen a very difficult mother. And of course, you know, with Lazarus, the discussion, you know, you can have a very lousy in-between lifetime experience and make poor choices. So for years, I took that on as a mistake, as shame.
Hmm.
You know, today, I look at that understanding totally what the agreement was, the soul agreement. I don't have any shame at all. I absolutely acknowledge and thank her daily, even though she's crossed over.
Hmm.
Actually, wish I can do better now, for the role that she played. And how difficult it was for her to take on a role where she had to be so cruel. I mean, I might love you, but I'm going to think twice about coming in and playing that role.
You know, and what, when people play that kind of role, do they ever have those glimpses that they didn't really want to do that? And can we ever get off those choices?
Well, I'll tell you, and I talked with someone today. And one of the things that they do with people is have them go back in and with their child and adolescent and give their child a voice, literally writing out everything their child has to say and also their adolescent, and taking them through a whole ritual with this work, and then going into a meditative state with each parent in a sacred circle, which, you know, they usually recommend a Nerf bat, you know, and just beating the crap out of them, and then when everybody's exhausted, kind of on the ground, telling them the way they wished it could have been, the way they wished it would have been. So you see, that's really the piece that we seldom get to.
You know, when I was little, my mom was really out of control, and I remember looking at her and thinking, she doesn't, and I would cry for her even though she was hurting me, but I could see, I knew that she didn't want to be that way.
Exactly.
You know, but she maintained that. She was that way, but I knew she didn't want to.
Again, these contracts. What was interesting to me is that someone who called me today, who is a healer, and, you know, was in an emotional meltdown with all of this and feeling it physically, and she had done all this work with her mom and dad, called her mom and dad, and both her mother and father got sick after she did this process.
After she did what?
This process that I just described.
Wow.
That's how much it changed the contract.
Wow. Well, now, is that okay? We don't want to make them sick, do we?
No, but what happens is a cellular shift.
Changes their whole biochemistry.
Exactly.
Well, now, Lazarus always teaches that you give back, that, you know, if you know you have shame and it came from, for example, your mother, that you should send it back. But I always balk at that. I go, why would we want to keep it going, you know?
I would agree with you. Again, I think that's more of a process. I think at this point we're spiritually evolved enough that this is a matter of, we don't have time to spend all the time giving back this damn shame to all the people it came from right now.
Right. It was a fashion anyway.
Right. Now it's a matter of, we're on, I see this as a very specific mission for ourselves first and for, you know, the mass consciousness as a whole,
mm-hmm.
okay, for the collective. Some people have had mean siblings, you know, same thing, kind of, you know, why did I choose this? And then, you know, we... giving ourselves away. This is a big one, I think. The regret of having given ourselves away, or, you know, whether it was as a teenager, giving ourselves away sexually, you know, or, you know, was it inappropriate? Well, it depends on the motivation for doing it. If you were trying to earn love, earn a boyfriend, you know, be accepted, then you give a piece of yourself away. There is shame and regret attached to that one. Not everybody remembers it, but it settles in. And again, we're talking about what settles into the cells here. Whether you're carrying it around in the conscious mind or the subconscious, the unconscious, it's still there in the cells. And that's what we're really working on right now. And then teenage pregnancy. You know, this one, not only is it life-changing, it can change the course of your life, but anyone, I got pregnant as a teenager, I did it intentionally. I saw it as a way out of the foster home.
Hmm.
But I also recognized that I changed my life course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I was very bright. I wanted to go on to college. I saw no way to do that because of being in a foster home. So I made a choice that I had to live with. Now, I've never regretted my daughter or whatever, but nevertheless, there is shame, and there was certainly because I got, you know, shamed by everyone getting pregnant. But, you know, again, this isn't about me so much, but I'm bringing up some of my own experience for people who need to tap into that.
Hmm.
Then there's another one of education versus marriage. And, you know, in high school, you know, that feels like the most important time of your life. And high school kids make choices based on emotion and peers. Majority of them, not all,
mm-hmm.
but the majority, certainly coming out of our generation, Veronica.
Yes, that's true.
And
hormones.
Yes, yes, hormones and that desire to procreate, and it becomes stronger than the desire to go to college, you know, to have a career.
And it had a style of stealth in those days, too. It was pretty sneaky.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
That brought a lot of shame up, too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, and I'll just use my daughter as an example. We wanted our children to go to college. This was a very big deal. And it, for me, of course, it was more exaggerated because I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted my children to experience college. My daughter, of course, fell in love and married someone and decided that she didn't want our lifestyle. She was going to live a simple life. And for anybody that knows her, they realize how funny that is. And every once in a while, she'll say, I wonder so many times how different my life would have been had I gone to college.
Hmm.
And it makes her cry when she talks about it. Now, aww, that's regret. Now, she's incredibly successful today in her career. She came up the hard way. She started out selling tires, you know, on a military base. And certainly what she does today is phenomenal. And she has a huge reach. But she got there the hard way, really the hard way, and went through a lot of struggle to do it. And here we go with those choices of more elegance, less elegance. You know, the old, I said I had a V8, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, without an education, going into a marriage, you know, initially struggle is fun. You're young, you know, you're going to have a baby, and, you know, you make your own curtains, and people give you things, and that's all fun. And then reality sets in, and struggle sets in, and it's not fun anymore.
Right.
And it sets up, you know, most of those marriages don't last. Now, I know some do, so for those of you that are listening tonight who can say, well, my mom and dad or my aunt, I believe me, this is not a real blanket statement. But certainly it is where you move out of fantasy,
mm-hmm.
the fantasy of marriage and creating your own family, into the reality of it and how difficult it really is. And, of course, that other piece is having children too young, how it changes your whole dynamic in your life. Now, I had my children very young. I'm actually very grateful for that because I can really enjoy them at this stage of my life.
Mm.
However, I also could have done many different things in my own life had I waited. Now, again, do I have regret around this? No, not necessarily at all. And then, of course, the other one, having children when you're not emotionally prepared for the reality of raising children. You know, this is the one I, you know, I don't know about you, Veronica, but I look around at some of these young girls that are pregnant today and I think, oh, God, you know, my first child, I was 16. And I look at a 16-year-old and think, ah! And then, of course, also the regret, and that this has come up, I found this one really interesting. Loves in your life that you walked away from, choosing, you know, and we'll go back to high school, choosing the high school football player over the really sensitive guy that really was so heartfelt, and so you chose popularity over quality.
Right.
And it's interesting as we've done the breaking of vows of some of these divorces, that we've gone back in, and they just know that there is a commitment in there somewhere that wasn't dealt with, that didn't necessarily have a marriage license tied to it, but it had a deep soul commitment. And those have been far more painful to break because it's an implied contract.
Mm.
And those have been more painful to break than the marriage contracts, interestingly enough.
And so that really dispenses a great deal of shame, huh?
Huge, and regret. Regret.
Hmm.
Regret. What was I thinking? Why would I make that choice? And again, self-inflicted shame.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how this goes. The high school football player may not become successful, but the guy that might have been a little bit on the nerdy side, you know, ends up with a stellar job, goes to college, you know.
There was an old movie called Splendor in the Grass, and it was all about that.
Oh, was it really?
Oh, yeah, it was a wonderful old movie.
Let's see. Oh, or The Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I don't know if anybody ever did a bad boy that's listening here tonight. But
oh, yeah.
I think it's built into the system. And
I did a bit of that.
Right. Well, we all have.
That means you did too, right?
Oh, yes. You know me, Veronica. When I do it big.
Just get right in there. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. We were talking about that earlier tonight, but I have one that, yes, was bigger than life. And, this was a later in life experience, but it was someone who was famous and infamous. Incredibly, he turned 25,000 into 130 million in 1 year.
Wow.
In his 20s. And, but he just couldn't stay on the straight and narrow.
And he probably never will, you know.
No. Every time I look at the stock market, I'm just waiting, you know. I'm just waiting to read the announcement. And, and then, you know, there are abortions, and so many women have had abortions, and, you know, for any variety of reasons, sometimes they get pregnant outside of wedlock, or there are some that have gotten pregnant inside of wedlock, and it wasn't financially viable for them to have a child. Some people, you know, plow through this with no problem. Lots of people have shame around it.
You know what I found is interesting? In my readings, I've done lots of readings on abortions and cried all the way through them. But some of them are really meant to be, just like those experiences that we're meant to contract to have. And I think that's worth looking at for some people anyway.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, though, if you felt shame when you did it,
mm-hmm.
it's still there.
Yeah.
You can't intellectually know that, okay, there was a reason for this and it was a soul contract. And that makes it okay. But the shame that you felt at the time of the experience is in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stuff we're going for.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
It's that, because it's your shame tied to everybody else's shame that's ever had that experience that anchors in. They are woven together. Did you get that one?
Yeah.
See, that's another element that people don't understand. And this is why when we lift, we're lifting the entire experience for us and for others, at least having that impact. All right?
Right.
That's big. That's really big. And then back to the relationships where we gave ourselves away, and these instead of in our teenage years, you know, in our young adulthood or our middle adulthood, our late adulthood. And I think most women have, not all, many, I'll say many women, have entered relationships at some time in their life where they gave away themselves, their power, played themselves down, gave up their own dreams. Now, this is not to say that you don't create dreams together in a relationship, but I'm talking about the real dark side of relationships. And because usually these end up where there can be abuse, both physical and emotional abuse. And then, you know, even at a deeper level is believing, God, they never really loved me. And I stayed in this relationship that may have cost me emotionally, financially, spiritually.
Or somebody else's belief systems that you just absorb as if they were air. And you live them out and you are gone from them after a while and go, what was I thinking? That wasn't me at all. You know?
Exactly. Again, giving ourselves away.
Wow.
Giving ourselves away in relation. And I have been guilty of this. Believe me, I understand this one really well.
Me too.
And then afterwards, as you said, Veronica, wondering what in the heck were we doing? How could we have done that to ourselves?
I can still blush over something that happened many years ago.
You can still what?
Blush.
Can you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bless your heart.
Well, that's the shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a shame.
all of this pops up over the last couple of weeks anyway.
Right. Well, and then poor choices around money. Now, you know, this is because there are a lot of women today that you know, have managed their own finances, whether they've been married or not, and, you know, and had periods of time where they lived on their own, and were, for whatever reason, financially irresponsible. Whether they gave it away to a man or they, you know, put themselves in stressful situations. Again, I've done it all.
So have I.
Yeah, easy come, easy go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, paid for it for years and years, you know, where your family looks at you and goes, what were you thinking? How could you do this?
How could you buy into someone else's need or whatever?
Yes. And, you know, whether we got involved in investments or stocks or with untrustworthy people, that's the one that's really tough because it's so shameful you don't even like to talk about it.
Right.
Now, some people will take that into victim. You know, they took me. And, you know, they can stay in that, but it's still loaded with shame.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, victim doesn't serve them at all. But it's the logical place where most people go. Or, you know, the other one, having an affair when you're either married to or in love with someone. And this happens in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, again, loaded with shame. You know, a lot of times these things happen, you never talk about them, or, you know, it only goes on for a short period of time. You decide not to jeopardize the marriage. And for whatever reason, sometimes it's just the forbidden fruit. But it still has shame attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this is a real backdoor one. The lies and omissions because of things that you've done that were shameful and never wanting to admit them to anyone. And, you know, for whatever reason, be it, you know, fear of judgment from family or friends or, that's a tough one.
Because
mm-hmm. that keeps heaping on the shame. It keeps heaping on the shame. And, I know of a situation where, and sometimes I have to be careful what I say, you know, when we do shows, but, and this was a man who was very, very successful and had a gambling problem. And as a result of his gambling problem, lost the majority of everything that had been built during the marriage. And there had to be a lot of lies and a lot of omissions as the money was moving out, you know, to these huge gambling debts. And the shame that's created through a situation like that can be devastating. The question even is, can somebody heal that in this lifetime unless they're, you know, on a metaphysical path and really, really working with it? And then this one I think is huge. And this is the spiritual teachers that people have aligned themselves with during the course of their own personal growth who turned out to be less than integrous.
Less than what?
Integrous.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I don't know if you've seen much of this, Veronica, but I sure have. And I have seen what it's done to people as a result of these actions. Some of them I've seen take advantage of others financially. I have two different friends that ended up in bankruptcy over being involved with a spiritual teacher that they believed was really on the path, really taking them down a path of expansion and connection with soul. And that's huge. Because that, you know, that there's the shame of, you know, this one gets very complex.
It does. I was just thinking that. It's hard to know what you're doubting your own authority, your own ability to perceive, aren't you?
Well, and you doubt God.
Mm-hmm.
You doubt. I have one friend that actually left metaphysics altogether and went back to a Presbyterian church. She brought me all of her tapes and every book and everything she had to do with metaphysics. She just brought them in shopping bags one day.
Wow, I can sure see why, but it's sad.
It broke my heart to see the level that this went to for this woman because of the trail and the shame.
Mm-hmm.
And
come to think of it, I have a whole bunch of people that I hadn't been thinking about for a long while who went through smaller versions of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is more prevalent than people realize, and it's seldom talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It is really seldom talked about. I have another friend that ended up going into bankruptcy. She lost $60,000 with a spiritual teacher.
Wow.
You
mean the teacher took it from her?
Yes. She financed trips for him as they went to all these sacred sites and, you know, with the promises that all this money would be coming right back to her when they, of course, it never did. And it took her into bankruptcy. She spent 4 years.
Wow.
4 years paying off her bankruptcy.
Well, that's really heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, again, I have seen so many of these people in my own life experience where they set out with good intentions.
Right.
But people are so ready to give themselves away, all right, to be associated with these people and then give themselves away, give their monies away, to be part of this clique, this spiritual, you know, group. And, you know,
that's a pretty interesting discussion all in itself. I'd say that's a whole show.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating one. And,
yeah.
You know, this is where, and, I'm just going to throw this out there, people have, I find this so interesting, some people have difficulty with people who do spiritual work charging for it. And let me tell you something. I would much rather see people be right straight up front, do it as a business transaction, things are clean and it's exchange of energy, and you never have to look at somebody else supporting you. Because that's when it gets real iffy.
Yeah, that's a sign of our times, too. This is where the money is a global thing.
Yes, and I find it very, very interesting. It is a whole show. It's a whole interesting subject, and that one we probably have a ton of call-ins.
Yeah, I think that would be a very exciting show, actually. I'd like that.
Okay. Now, and I'm also going to talk about here about Lazarus, who Veronica, you and I have both worked with Lazarus a lot of years.
You bet.
And, you know, I've had people who felt that they were mistreated by the Lazarus drink team. I've had my own experience when they started the chat room or whatever, where I was just raked over the coals. I mean, literally raked over the coals.
Really?
Yes. And it was done over the computer where everyone else could see and read it. And it was something I did that was very innocent.
Really?
And I've had people who...
So what was it?
I mentioned some product that somebody had talked to me about that I thought was really wonderful. I never sell anything. So I've always stayed away from that so no one could ever think that I was... If I endorsed something, that I had a piece of it. You know,
right.
To me, I've always kept it really clean because I just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, this particular person who was running the chat room, this is when they first started it, she just went sideways on me.
Hmm.
And I was mortified because it was so innocent on my part. Now, you know, again, I went into shame.
Right.
And it created a problem. I never participated again in any of that. Hmm. I still certainly participate with Lazarus, but I didn't. And then I've had people who, during the magic time of Lazarus, for those of you who don't know what that is, during a Lazarus intensive, people have what is called magic time, and people sit around in chairs, and then the microphone is kind of passed around. Lazarus picks whoever is going to ask questions, with the understanding that the questions that are asked will have an application for everyone in the room at some level. And I've had people who felt incredibly shamed by Lazarus during magic time.
Really?
Yes. Yes. So, you know, again, on the spiritual side of this, Veronica,
mm-hmm.
people can get shamed, whether, it's, again, the back door of shame.
Mm-hmm.
The back door of shame.
The shame really comes up in a pretty shocking way when it's to do with our spiritual journey.
Hugely.
It's a whole different level.
Hugely. I mean, and it comes up certainly with certainly we've seen it, I have, for most of my life with people who felt betrayed by Catholic priests, you know, who turned to them for help and were treated poorly. You know, forget me, I mean, I heard this all my life from people who walk away from the church because of these experiences.
I had a few of those myself.
Right, right.
It just makes you not trust so much. Maybe that's the learning.
Well, if we could walk through experiences and not feel shame, then we could see it strictly as learning and process it in a totally different way.
Right.
It's only when we walk into it, and if we're shame-based anyway, it goes into shame. As I said, after going through this 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, I don't think anybody's going to let anyone ever shame them again. And they're going to recognize anything that comes in that could be shame and convert it right then and there.
Excellent.
And then, of course, we have the whole ballywick of children. this is, you know...
I didn't hear what you said.
I said the whole ballywick of children. And as parents, we take on our children's mistakes, our children's failings, our children's explorations. Somehow or other, we're going to go to shame with it because we're going to look at, if I had been a better mother or a better father, if I had done this, if I had gone to college, you know, if I could have afforded to educate them, you know, they wouldn't be struggling now in their new marriage with their little baby. When our kids start dabbling in drugs, and gee, if you've got anybody listening, these children haven't, God bless you.
Yeah, it's really, it's quite the plague these days.
Well, and again, it doesn't matter how old your children are. If they are dealing with an issue that you can look back and think, had I been more myself, had I been more in my own power, had I been a better example, okay, their lives could be different.
I think that often.
There you go. And, you know, of course, I had my caveat with my children. I have no yardstick. I don't have a clue how to raise you. We're going through this together. I was never in one place long enough to really have a yardstick for the way that things should be.
Right.
So I really didn't have a clue. And, you know, at that time we were building a business. I didn't have time to sit down and read books, you know, to figure out how to do it. I was building a business. Now, you know, would I do it differently today? Oh, heck yes. But... you know, was I the perfect example as a parent? Oh, no.
I don't know any parents that think they were.
Well, you know, I had an aunt and uncle that were really stable, bless their hearts. They both crossed over last year. And to me, they were the all-American. They really were Ozzie and Harriet. You know, I really thought they were Ozzie and Harriet. Now, did they have their problems? I'm sure they did. But, you know, to me, they were Ozzie and Harriet. Always looked perfect, always dressed perfect, everything was, you know, it was just perfect. So, you know, but, I, you know, this one keeps giving, by the way, and this one keeps coming in the back door because as we see our children with their children, it's another opportunity to park that somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, and say, gee, I didn't, you know, this is always my favorite. I didn't raise my children that way. Right.
But we did pass the shame on, just like it was breath.
Absolutely. My daughter was here the other night, and I cracked up. I had someone here who had just had a session who's a good friend. And my daughter says, you know, I don't know why you're not focusing on the movie The Secret Mom. Be positive. Why are you dealing with shame? And I said, well, honey, it's the spiritual imperative. She said, well, I don't have any shame. And I said, oh, Jesus, I want
it. Gee, I wonder who your mother was. Yeah. Well, it's sort of interesting. interesting that we're catching up with the fact that we kind of live in this soup and we pass it on, and any way we can get wise about it, you know, will help.
Well, again, just like the woman that I talked to whose mom and dad got sick, you know, when she did the clearing with them, this is going to show up in your family. Okay? You're ending this chain of pain and shame.
Right.
Is going to trickle into your family so rapidly, it'll be amazing. First of all, you won't respond the way that you would normally respond. It will change the dynamic. Between you and your children.
Hmm.
Immediately. And there's an energetic that goes back and forth. That it's, you know, the cells are our cells.
Our little radios.
I'm sorry?
Our little radios.
Absolutely. They're telepathic. Our cells are telepathic.
Right.
When we're not broadcasting change, it will shift every dynamic. And you're going to see it out in your world, everywhere you go. People are going to respond differently to you. It's an amazing thing. I went to Whole Foods the other, my normal Sunday evening, you know, to kind of stock up for the week. I had people following me around the store talking my ear off.
Now, did you know these people?
No, not at all. And I mean, it was just fascinating.
So you're really attracting in a lot of people.
Hugely. It was like I had this clear field that said you could talk to me about it. And it was just, these were not people, you know, sorrowful. They were excited. They were dynamic. They were creating, you know, the biggest shopping center here and the biggest, you know, high-rise towers. And I was fascinated by all of this. Isn't this amazing? So what did it say to me, and it said it to me very clearly, is that my whole field is changing, and it's going to attract, and it's going to resonate at an entirely different level without the shame.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely different level. Now, I'm going to forewarn people. If you have friends and family loaded with shame, they may act differently around you. Some are going to be hugely attracted, and some may be repelled for a while.
Hmm. Because you've changed the status quo of what their role is.
Exactly. There will not be that resonance that locks in. Because when the shame isn't there, there's nothing to hook into.
Right.
And I think it's fascinating, from my own perspective. I think it's fascinating. I'm just seeing the dynamic in small ways right now, and I'm just, because I don't get out of here too much, but I'm fascinated by what I'm seeing.
Wonderful. This is very exciting.
It is exciting, and I'm encouraging everyone to really pay attention, you know, and if you need to, journal, but expect wonderful things.
Wonderful.
And I'm also seeing with my clients that they're making choices right now. As the shame is lifting, I'm seeing them make choices, finally, that for them, that feel good, and having the courage to walk through with them on things that they would have done years ago had they not had all this shame stuff going on.
Hmm.
That's exciting.
Well, I feel I'm picking up speed, too.
Oh, you are. I can feel it in your resonance.
Yeah.
I can feel it in your resonance.
But I'm getting a little cocky.
Well,
I think that's funny.
You know, I think what it is feeling good enough about yourself to not step down.
Right.
To not soften. I mean, I can feel it, you know, tonight in the dialogue between us. When you really feel good about yourself, when you don't have this shame stuff going on, you get your voice.
Right.
Okay, and you're not afraid to express your feelings. You're not afraid of being shamed.
Right. That's true, isn't it?
Yes. You don't have that gut response to it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I feel more, something's very, very changing that's not done yet. My dreams, and your team mentions here that our dreams may be different. They could be disturbing. They could be fun.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mine seem to feature me in kind of interesting quasi-alienated ways where I'm showing up in different roles all over the place but don't quite fit.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? They're kind of tiring.
But, you know, I think just my own take on this, Veronica, is the metaphor for this is that those old roles no longer fit you anyway.
That's what I'm thinking. They're all in rapport with people from my past.
Exactly. And you can no longer fit into that dynamic. When you go through a transformation, you won't fit into that dynamic that way any longer.
Hmm.
You'll come back into it on a totally different resonance. And everything in your experience will be different. What's interesting is wait till you start seeing and looking at people when you don't look through them through the eyes of shame.
Hmm.
They will look totally different to you. They will feel totally different to you. And your responses to them will be different.
Oh, this is going to be good. I mean, I think it's already happening to a degree.
Well, I believe it's happening for everybody. I know that everyone is tired, and I, again, thank all of you who have hung in there through this experience. Next week, by the way, I will be in full channel. So Veronica will be, you know, doing the
introduction. Being the shepherd.
Please be comfortable during next week's show. Put your jammies on. And if you can, lay down, you know, by the computer rather than, you know, having to stare into a computer with nothing there but a picture. And just allow it. Really allow it. Give total permission before the show. Call in your higher selves. Call in your soul. Call in your spirit. Call in your own guides. And then just open. I mean, that is the greatest advice I can give to everybody. During this week, you may have very different dreams. More loving. More easy. More gentle. You may have a lot of water dreams, kind of this floating. I just believe that this is going to be a very different week for everyone as we move up to the lifting of shame. And no one is more excited about this than I am.
I'm really looking forward to it, too. It's been a process. It's been very excellent.
Yes, it has been a process.
And you said people are probably tired of it, but you know what, Jackie? I think there's a really vigorous shift going on that people can feel change instead of just be wondering if there will be change. Most people listening to this show are in the process of transformation anyway, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, my excitement will be to get the feedback. For me, will be to know that each person here really honors who they are and what they've walked through to get here.
Mm.
And gives it to themselves, not their ego, but to them, takes it into them, and loves their courage. Because there have been so many times in our lives when we haven't felt courageous for whatever reason. This is the time to really own the courage and the willingness to walk through all this, because it hasn't been easy. Now, Veronica, please give them your website here and your other radio show.
Oh, my website is www.veronicaentwistle.com. And Entwistle is spelled Entwistle. And my radio show is on BBS, wonderful BBS radio on your own internet at 4 o'clock Tuesdays West Coast time, 4 till 5. It's usually an interactive show about all kinds of things, including about you, so call in. We'll see you on Tuesday.
And we will see you back here next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time.
In our pajamas.
Yes, and I will be in mine as well.
We're all having a pajama party with the guides or the wonderful consciousness team.
Absolutely. And my deep love to all of you. Thank you so much for being willing to walk through this.
Much love to you and your team, Jackie. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.